The Lord help us to commence with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
Thank you.
The book of Daniel, chapter 3. The third chapter in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.' There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counsellors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counsellors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we pray that thou wilt come, dear Lord, and help us this night to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. And O Lord, how we need thee to come and be the master of assemblies this night, and that we may be favoured like those that journeyed to Emmaus with thy sweet and sacred presence. And, O Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls. We may hear thy sweet voice, and that thou wilt so apply thy word with divine power, that it may be to us the word of the King of Kings. For thou hast said, where the word of a king is, there is power. O Lord, as we come this evening, we would come with those that journeyed to Emmaus when they said, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Oh, we pray that we may be favoured like they were. For thou didst go in, dear Lord, and abide with them. Oh, we pray thou wilt come where we each are this evening. And we would pray with the psalmist, "Leave not my soul destitute." Oh, that thou wilt say unto my soul, "I am thy salvation." Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we might each be quickened by thy Spirit into life. We may be truly manifest as thy children. And that thou hast chosen us ere time began. That we are in that narrow way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Oh, do soften our hearts, Lord. We mourn because of the hardness and coldness and rebelliousness of our hearts so often. But oh, may we be favoured like dear Job to be able to say, "For God maketh my heart soft." Oh, we pray for a true penitent heart, Lord, a heart to weep over our sin, a heart to confess our sins before thee, a heart to seek for mercy and for the pardon of all our sin. Oh, may each sin-sick soul tonight sweetly know and feel within their hearts that sweet pardon and peace that flows through a precious Jesus. Lord, the sin that troubles thy dear children may be removed, and the sweet peace of Calvary fill their souls. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that we may be clothed in thy glorious righteousness, that robe that thou hast wrought out, and that faith puts on, the righteousness of God. O Lord, how we need thee to go before us in life's journey. O, do prepare us for thy will, both for life and for death. Oh, may we be ready for that great day when flesh and blood shall fail. Lord, we have to launch in worlds unknown and see thee on thy judgment throne. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we may be fully prepared and ready. And have on that wedding garment, waiting for thy coming. Oh, do make us right, dear Lord, and keep us right. Grant us, Lord, that real religion thou dost give to thy children. May we be amongst those that are truly born of God. Pray to be emptied of self and of this world. Thou wilt fill us with thyself. Oh, may we be favoured to know more and more the preciousness and suitability of the Lord Jesus. Lord, do give us that faith to look alone to thee. For thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. Oh, that we may be a truly blessed with living vital faith. May we have that singleness of eye, Lord, to look alone to the dear Redeemer, that thou wilt grant us that faith to keep thee in view in all we say and in all we do. O Lord, who help us to lean hard upon thee. May we never be left to lean to our own understanding. Oh, may we have that faith to truly lean and trust in thee and rest in thy finished work. O Lord, do prepare us for the journey, the trials, the temptations, the many snares there are in the journey. You cast Satan out and grant us, we pray, deliverance from his mighty power. You remember, Lord, each one that is gathered this evening. We pray thou wilt suit thyself to every sinner's case. May those that are cast down be lifted up. For Lord, who can lift us up but thou? Those, Lord, that have many crooked things and strange things to walk through, may they prove thy sweet promise. For thou didst promise to make the crooked things straight, the rough places plain. Remember, Lord, those that are full of fears and wonder where the seam will end. Much to be afraid in, but Lord, thou canst take away those fears and the many things thy people are afraid in. We beg of thee to work. May it please thee to send healing to those in affliction. Lord, do make each bed in each affliction, we beseech thee. May the Holy Spirit sanctify all the path of thy afflicted people. May they feel that thou hast made their beds in them. Lord, do comfort those that are bereaved. We think of many of our dear friends that have suffered loss of late. Lord, do come and sanctify these losses, Lord. Thy dear people may be unable to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hear prayer for the dear children, dear Lord, the little ones, and remember them each, we pray, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. Preserve and keep them in their early days from this world and all its snares and dangers. And who remember the dear young people, we pray thou wilt guide them, direct them, help them, Lord. And may thy tender filial fear be placed in each of their hearts, that they may desire a better country, that is an heavenly. And may they follow on to know the Lord and to seek his face. Oh, do work, we pray, mightily, and hear the prayers that are put up for them. Do provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. Make a way for each one, we pray. And may they see the wonders God alone can do. And we would pray for those in middle age that have many trials and temptations to wade through. that thou would undertake for them, and guide them and direct them. And may they see thy hand working wondrously. Remember those in advanced age, Lord, and feel much their weakness. Our dear friend, unable to be with us now, as in former days, remember her in her home. Visit her with thy salvation. And may each of thy dear aged people prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. Who bless this corner of thy vineyard, we pray for the outpouring of thy spirit. Thou wilt yet awaken many sinners round in this village to come and fill the place. Oh, may there be yet those brought to cry, give me Christ or else I die. May it please thee, Lord, to set at liberty those who are in bondage. And knowest how Satan binds our captive minds, fast in his slavish chains. Oh, we pray thou wilt loose thy people and let them go. May there be those yet constrained to follow thee here and to obey thy commandments and to keep thy precepts. And may it be so in our own flock and throughout Zion. May we yet see better days in the churches, dear Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Grant to thy dear servants those souls to their hire and seals to their ministry, and crown thy gospel through them with success. And help the deacons here, Lord, and bless the hymns they give out, and give them wisdom and grace and help in all the concerns they have regarding thy cause. And may their prayers and the prayers that are put up by thy people be heard and answered. And bind us each together, Lord, in love and union and of one mind, of one heart. And we would pray for thy appearing in the nation, that thou would bless our Queen and the royal family with the riches of thy grace. May they yet set a right example in the land. And do remember, Lord, our government and Prime Minister, and bring them, Lord, to look to thee and to seek thee for thy appearing in the land. And leave us not to their devices or the devices of sinful men, nor to overturn all the laws that are contrary to thy word. We beg of thee to appear, that thou wilt make bare thine arm and work wondrously. Remember all those, Lord, in war-torn lands, many displaced and many refugees throughout the earth. Remember the persecuted, Lord, and those that sorely are oppressed. We beg of thee to command deliverance, we beseech thee, if it be thy holy will. Grant us each, Lord, that grace to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. Do forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Make up in giving where we so fail. And oh, do hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. Grant that needed help as we turn to thy word, and touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. And may we lose sight this night, Lord, of all men, whether in pulpit or in pew, and see Jesus only. We would give thee all the glory, all the praise, for all the wonders thou alone canst do. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 579. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. He speaks, and that almighty voice proclaims his grace abroad. 579.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Isaiah 54 and verse 10. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54 and the 10th verse. For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. This word was not just spoken by Isaiah to the Church of God, it was the message of God, the God of heaven, to his dear church, his dear people. And in it are some most deep and profound certainties which the Lord will bring to fruition in every jot and tittle of them, in his time, in his way, in the hearts of his dear people individually, personally. You will notice how it is so evident in our text. It is thee, nobody else. It's personal, you see, and what we need as we venture into this again this evening is the personal application of it. Well, I don't intend to go over what we looked at this morning, but particularly we want to dwell on that sacred clause that, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. You see, he says that the mountain shall depart, the hills be removed, but he says, my kindness shall not depart from thee. Some of you may be graciously exercised concerning the future and the unknown way, and you immediately say, oh, well, what we need is something to go on with, something to venture forward with. Well, may this be of sweet encouragement to you. The Lord says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. So there will be, you see, a blessed prospect to the soul the Lord speaks this to. Because you're going to experience this kindness of the Lord. And let me remind you of two blessed forms of it, what he has declared. Firstly, in the Psalms, where he says, my loving kindness. And here, as we read this morning in this chapter, but with everlasting kindness. So you see how comprehensive it is. Well, I seek to be led into this evening. Oh, to look back, and may we be able to look back and see the kindness of the Lord in rescuing us from serving Satan in our unregenerate days. You think how the Lord dealt with Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road Was it not because his kindness, his eternal love was toward dear soul? And you may say, what, such an enemy of the truth that he was. But the Lord's kindness was toward him. And that's why the Lord spoke to him from that, from heaven on that Damascus road. Though it was a most searching time for dear Saul as he was then, he trembled under the word. And yet in it was the kindness of God, of the Trinity that we've been singing of, which we looked at this morning. They were all involved in that wondrous work, you know. And the apostle could look back on it in many times in his life afterwards, couldn't he? And he could see the kindness of the Lord in it. The Lord could have left him to go, and us too, into endless ruin. But because his eternal, everlasting love and kindness is toward his dear people, he doesn't leave them to go down finally into the depths of hell, but calls them by his grace, changes the heart, renews the will, and turns their feet to Zion's hill. It's like the blind man, you know. He said, one thing I know. Look in your heart and mine. Whereas I was blind, but now I see. The Lord in his kindness opened the dear man's eyes. And he will open every one of his dear elect children's eyes to see their solemn, sad condition by nature, and to see the great need of salvation in and through the dear Lord Jesus himself. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among in heaven among men whereby ye must be saved. Oh, his kindness. And then his kindness is toward his dear people in bringing them to know their sin and the vileness of their heart, the wretchedness within. Because you see, if we don't know the sin, we don't know the wretchedness, we don't know the vileness of our heart, we don't need the precious blood of Jesus, do we? So in his kindness, he convinces sinners of their sin. And you look how he dealt with the dear publican. God's kindness was toward that dear man, his loving kindness. And what does he show him? The great need of mercy. What does the hymn writer say? Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. You see, it's sinners that need a Saviour, and a great one. And what a mercy it is if we know something of the religion the Lord gave to the dear publican. It was he that needed mercy. And in the conviction, in the mercy that he found, there was God's kindness toward him. Right through it all, his loving kindness. Oh, how free. But my kindness, the Lord says, shall not depart from thee. Now, let us go a step further. Think of the bitter temptations of Satan. Oh, the adversary may be suggesting to one here tonight, oh, but you've seen the loving kindness of the Lord in days past, but oh, now he's going to leave you. He's going to forsake you. You're going to sink down into endless ruin, and the temptations are real, aren't they? And they're bitter, and the adversary knows every weak point of every child of God. You think how he knew the weak point in Peter? Just how to cause the dear man to fall. But you look, the Lord has said, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. It's a word that you can face Satan with. Because what the Lord says here, he will fulfill. And he'll deliver you from all the power of Satan. There are two reasons why we read together that sacred chapter in Daniel this evening. You look how powerful Satan was in getting into King Nebuchadnezzar, raising up these false gods. The adversary was at work. He's at work in this solemn day in which we live. But the Lord was to manifest his wondrous power and kindness towards those three dear souls, wasn't it? They were not going to bow their knee nor worship those idols that the king had raised up. The Lord had shown them in his kindness toward them that if they rested on such idols and false gods, they would sink into despair, eternal despair. But no, his love and kindness was toward them, and he was to deliver them from all the onslaughts of Satan, from all the onslaughts of the fiery furnace, and the enemies of the truth. And you look at the kindness of the Lord toward them. His kindness was even in the flames. It couldn't touch them, could it? Those that cast them in were destroyed. I'd rather be oppressed than be the oppressor. The Lord has said, woe unto the oppressor. And look how solemn it was of those that cast them in. But the point I really wanted to name was this. You look how the Lord in his kindness came down and right into that fiery furnace where they were. Did not the king say, were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there is four, one like unto the Son of God. The Lord Jesus in his kindness came right where they were. My great concern is with this evening, we might be favoured to know his kindness in coming right into what we're in. And you know, when the Lord does, he'll make even the bitter sweet. Oh, he will. And you look how the Lord was so with them to deliver them not only from the furnace, but deliver them from all the enemies and from Satan. His kindness toward them. And they could truly say, couldn't they, with the hymn writer, his loving kindness, oh, how good. It is good, you know. And those of us that have tasted it and know how good it is. And it'll melt the sinner's heart, it will. You look how they came out without even the smell of smoke upon them, their clothes untouched. Oh, the kindness of the Lord. Now, I don't know what you may be in this evening, but the Lord does. And may you be favoured to feel in it, though Satan may be buffeting you, tempting you, trying you, perplexing you, causing you to have many fears. But oh, if you can feel the kindness of the Lord with you in his sweet presence, that'll put everything right. I love that couplet of the hymn. I've often quoted it over the years. In thy presence I am happy. Do you know what it is to feel it? And you can see his loving kindness in it, in his sweet presence. You think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. His loving kindness toward them. How he so began at Moses and the prophets and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they journeyed along, they were to know that sweet kindness and his loving kindness and his everlasting kindness. That he'd suffered, bled and died for them and rose again on that glorious resurrection morn. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, shall not depart from thee. And then think of it, his kindness in forgiving sinners of all their sin. Oh, you think of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. She was to know the kindness of the Lord. Feeling so unfit, she ventures behind him to wash his feet and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Wipe them, wash them with her tears. Tears of God-given repentance. Tears of godly sorrow. His loving kindness was toward her. And she was to know the sweet effect of it when he pronounced to her that all her sin was forgiven. She could go on her way and really rejoicing in heart because of his kindness toward her, unworthy of it all. You know, I love those words. They've been very precious to me. What dear old Jacob said, I am not worthy. And you know, this soul that knows the kindness of the Lord toward them will feel so unworthy of it. I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy and of his truth. And you'll feel so unworthy of it. But I want to look at it too, just briefly. Two ways, really. In this beautiful clause, and there's so many aspects we realise of it, but think about it naturally. The kindness the Lord shows to his dear people in Providence. That's a very sacred word in the 145th Psalm, I think it is, where he says this, the Holy Spirit, thou openest thine hand, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. And you know, as the Lord opens his hand and supplies the need of his dear people, they see the kindness of the Lord in it all. How he opens his hand, well, let me prove it to you from the Word of God. Three things, really. One is this. The children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness journey, what did the Lord do? He sent them from heaven, the manna down, every day. these 6 days they were to have it, and on the sixth day he sent it for the Sabbath too. The Lord wonderfully showed his kindness toward them in providing that food they needed. And look at the freshness there was in it. That they tried to keep, they couldn't, can it? It bred worms and was putrefied. And look at it spiritually. When the Lord is pleased to send that heavenly manna into your soul, you cannot retain it or keep it yourself, can you? But when he keeps it alive in you, you can feed on it maybe for many days, like Elijah did. He went in the strength of the meat for 40 days and 40 nights, didn't he? But you look at the wonderful kindness of the Lord. Some of us can look back, and I often feel ever so humbled over the years, the kindness of the Lord in providing for us. You know, I was looking back over the years and I stood amazed at the kindness as I looked back and saw the kindness of the Lord in providing for us every day. It's a wonderful thing, you know. And you'll know where to give the praise, poor soul. But you will say, oh, but we don't want a providential religion. But remember what the hymn writer said, providence and grace unite. And so often you come into deep trials in the pathway in providence, and in it the trials within your soul, and they're interlocked and woven together. But then you see the kindness of the Lord providing for you. And then we think not only the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness, but I named it this afternoon, dear Elijah, first at the brook Cherith. Look how, when those ravens came with that bread and flesh, how the dear man must have felt. Famine in the land. The Lord withheld the rain. And what did he do? He sent those ravens to feed him. See the kindness of the Lord, providing for the dear man of God. He didn't let him starve, did he? And then think of him when the brook dried up. What should he do? Arise and go into Zarephath, for there I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And you look how the barrel of meal wasted not, did it, nor the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. And you could see the dear man knew the kindness of his God, didn't he? And then you can think, in going into the New Testament, of the feeding of the multitude, of those 5,000. The disciples wanted to send them away, didn't they? But what did Jesus do? He took of the loaves and the fishes, and he blessed God and praised the Lord for it. And then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they all fed. And there was those basketfuls to be gathered up. But in the disciples' hand, you know, it could never feed such a great multitude. But in the Lord's hand, you see, there was everything they needed, and that to spare. But my kindness. You know, we said this afternoon at Southery that, you know, when you look back at some of our godly forefathers, the great need they were in. And what was it to do? It was to bring them to lean hard upon the Lord to supply that need. It was to bring them to be completely dependent upon him. They lived never so near the Lord, you know. And look how he provided for them. You think back in Gadsby's day and others, John Warburton, how the Lord wonderfully showed his kindness toward his dear people in supplying their every need. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it, we sing sometimes. And may we each know the reality of it. My every need. He didn't say some of it. My every need he richly will supply. Nor will his mercy ever let me die. Oh, may we ever be dependent upon the Lord. And if we are, we shall know what it is for his kindness to be toward us. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. And then think of the kindness of the Lord to those that needed healing while he was here upon the earth. The woman with the issue of blood, the dear man with his son that was possessed with the devil that cast him into the fire and into the water. You look how kind the Saviour was to the woman with the issue of blood. Not only to her in her affliction, but to in her soul, in giving her that beautiful blessing when he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." You see the kindness of the Lord in giving us faith. The kindness of the Lord in giving us love to him and to his people, to his ways. Think of what we quoted this morning. They that once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. And it may be there are those of you who want to know more and more. And I tell you what, if you've known a little taste of his kindness, poor soul, you'll want more and more of it. Oh, you will. And you'll want to feel it. And you look in the case of those after the resurrection, how kind he spoke to his dear disciples and to the dear women. Well, think of dear Mary. Magdalene, there she was in much sorrow. And what did he say to her? Mary. And oh, the kindness of the Saviour as he pronounced that to her. And immediately look at the response in her heart. Rabboni, Master. And immediately she wanted to embrace him. You know, faith is in gracious exercise within us. This is what we shall want to do if we know this kindness. Embrace the Saviour as our Saviour, our Redeemer. But two things I just want to briefly name. The first is this. Oh, the kindness of the Lord in speaking to his dear people. How many times as you look back in the journey, some of you young ones, and you look back and see his kindness, that he may have spoken a word to you. A word of love, or maybe even a word of rebuke, of correction. Because you see, his kindness is in correction as well. Oh, it is. What does the Apostle Paul say? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You think of a dear mother and father with their children. In kindness, they correct them, don't they? Why? Because they correct them in love. Where would we be today if we'd not had parents that corrected us? One of the reasons why the crimes of today are so great, and the disrespect there is because throughout the nation, because lack of correction. You know, the Lord doesn't leave his dear children without correction. And they have had a see in it, his love, you know, his kindness. I remember, I may have told you before, but I remember many years ago now, in my early days, I had a slight accident with my car, and when I got to work, it really concerned me why it had come. A man came out of a side turning into the side of it, and I was very troubled about it all. And I said, Lord, why has it come? You see, nothing comes by chance. It was to stir me up, to make me rightly exercise before the God of heaven. And you know, I said, Lord, why is it? And you know, the Lord answered me in a moment with that couplet of the hymn, Bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight, but the true-born child of God must not, would not, if he might. And I could see in it, you know, the love of God in it, correcting me, making me more prayerful, more exercise, more concern. All the teaching there was in it. And I'd never forgot it, you know. I remember the cattle yard in Chart Sutton where the Lord dropped that word into my heart. Must not, would not, if he might. And I could see in it, you know, the loving kindness of the Lord. And it may be he's correcting you in different ways, in affliction, in providential trouble, in other ways, you know. Satan opposing you. And you can see in it his loving kindness in it all, even in correction. But what I was going to say was, what a mercy when the Lord speaks a word, you know, to us. And there are words, you know, not just print on the page. They're written on the fleshy tables of your heart that you'll never forget. And he may have spoken them to you right in the depths of trouble. I think of a dear godly lady many years ago. She was laid ever so ill in affliction. And as she lay there, she said, Lord, why has all this come? And you know the nature of it looked as though it was going to take all her life and she wouldn't be spared. And the Lord spoke to her these words, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, it just melted her. She said, I could see in it all his kindness. I have chosen thee. You know, it'll be well with your soul and mine if the Lord tells us that we are chosen vessels of mercy. He has chosen us. And you know, that dear soul never forgot it. The Lord raised her up and spared her to a great age. But she often looked back to that, you know. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. She knew what path she got to walk. It was going to be a furnace of affliction. But in it, like we read this evening, the Lord was with her in it, you see. And then she could see the kindness of the Lord and his loving kindness. But what I was going to say too was this. Think of the sweet promises. You know, this is a wonderful promise. The Lord speaking. For the mountain shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. And this is something, poor soul, you can plead before the God of heaven. You can take it back to the Lord and say, Lord, thou didst say thou wilt grant this. And what he has said will never return void. But my kindness. Oh, this is a word, poor soul, you have to prove. And you have to walk it out, you see. And it'll be ever so humbling and make your soul tender before the God of heaven. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Where does this sacred peace flow from? This covenant that he has with his dear people. I was thinking of dear David earlier. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And think of this covenant, the covenant of my peace. It all flows from Calvary, this peace. And it flows through the precious blood of Jesus, through his wounded side, and it flows into sinners' hearts. And it's a peace that you can never describe. We sing in the hymn, don't we? When thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man, thy peace shall be. Satan may say, oh, but the peace you've got is false peace. It'll all be removed. What does the word say? Neither shall the covenant of my peace, the Lord speaking, be removed. And when the Lord said it will not be removed, it won't be, poor soul. And what did the apostle say concerning it? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. It's endorsed with the most divine authority it ever be endorsed with. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And can you not look back and see how he's had mercy upon me? And that mercy will be transportingly sweet. The dear publican we named earlier knew that sweet mercy. And oh, to know more and more of that mercy. And then you think of the dying thief upon the cross, the kindness the Saviour had toward him, a poor, unworthy sinner, when he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He was to enter into the fullness of the loving kindness of the Lord and his everlasting kindness. But before I leave it, I just want to step back a moment. The text begins, for the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed. And then he says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord. Now we looked at it this morning. The certainty, the mountain shall depart. This is what the Lord has said. And we noted it in the times of earthquakes. And we noted it concerning the end of time. Jesus said not one stone would be left upon another to his dear disciples. But it's been with me since I left it this morning. I just want to hint at it, for it may be there's a soul here that's in this. You may have some mountains. They may be in your soul, They may be in your pathway, they may be in your family, they may be concerned the Church of God. It may be the mountain is following the dear Redeemer in his sacred ordinance. And what a mountain it is. And there are mountains the Lord lays upon his people. They're mountains to them. They cannot remove them. But look at the wonderful certainty of this here. The mountain shall depart. Now there's many records, particularly in the prophecy of Isaiah, where the Lord speaks of removing the mountains. We read, don't we, further on. And I don't know, I know this is looking at it from a completely different way than what we looked at this morning, but it's been with me, so I will name it. We think further on in the prophecy of Isaiah, of that word where it says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Why? That the mountains might flow down at his presence. And you see, when the Lord appears and he says, the mountains shall depart, those mountains that you come into, they shall depart. And that seemed very sweet to me, you know. There are many mountains, a great mountain of death. And with the Lord's dear people, you see, that great mountain of death shall flow down at his presence. It shall be removed. Why? Because he's taken the sting out of death in dying upon Calvary's tree and rising on that resurrection morn. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And oh, you think of it, the mountain shall depart. And may those that have mountains tonight see them all depart. The Lord can do it. He has said here in that if he can remove the great mountains of the earth, he can remove the great mountains that his dear people come into. But then there's another word. I will make, the Lord says, all my mountains away. They're not just your mountains, child of God. They're the Lord's mountains. We often forget that, don't we? Because if the Lord is with us, they won't be just our mountains. They're his mountains. And he said, I will make all my mountains away. And when the Lord promises these blessed things, he alone will fulfill them. In his time, in his way. Now, I've only scratched the surface of this today. But may the blessed Holy Spirit seal this home to us. But my kindness, don't forget that, may it live in us, shall not depart from thee. And poor soul, if the Lord seals that in your heart and mine today, you'll never forget it. And you'll be able to praise and bless his holy name for it and give him all the praise and glory. Because it is unto him praise and honour and glory belong. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £720, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by our friend Mr. Field. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness proved, find it everlasting love. 133.
Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do apply thy word with power. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, Rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.